This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from, in other words, Women's Books and Resources, your local nonprofit, feminist bookstore and resource center, offering community space, events, gifts, tools for the revolution, a comprehensive collection of women's writings, and more. Located at a new location, 8 Northeast Killingsworth, and on the web at inotherwords.org. Hello, this is Bread and Roses, and my name's Denise Kowalczyk. I'm so thrilled and tickled to be back on the airwaves of KBOO Community Radio. I think it's been over a year since I've been here, so I'm just a little anxious, a little nervous, but so excited because I think it's going to be a fabulous program tonight. I have three amazing women in the house, in Studio 2, to talk about some really important issues. We have Planned Parenthood here of the Columbia Willamette. We have In Other Words here today, and we also have Insight's Teen Parent Program. Now, I'm sure Planned Parenthood is nothing unfamiliar to our listeners. It's not unfamiliar to our listeners, but it's the Planned Parenthood of the Columbia Willamette. It is the largest nonprofit family planning and reproductive rights organization in Oregon, and was established, I think, roughly in the early 60s, 1963. And the organization has been educating the community about health care and protecting a woman's right to choose. And field organizer Carmen Schwizo joins us now to talk about a lot of things relating to pro-choice issues and such. We'll only have about 10 or 15 minutes, so we'll get to as much as we can. Now, I understand, and welcome, Carmen. Welcome to KABU.
And thank you for having me.
I'm so happy to have you here. Planned Parenthood does have a pretty expansive mission, to talk about sexual and reproductive health care in Oregon and Southwest Oregon by providing services and a wide range of services, mm-hmm. including birth control.
Exactly.
Also talking about sex education.
Comprehensive sexuality education, yes.
And bringing, more public awareness about sexual and reproductive health issues, and then also reduce unintended pregnancy and births, especially among young people. And since it's such a comprehensive organization, mm-hmm. we're really just going to focus today on pro-choice and what's happened over the past year and such.
Yeah, and if I could, I just wanted to briefly talk about Planned Parenthood. You kind of think about it as a three-pronged stool. So Planned Parenthood's mission is to provide, promote, and protect access to reproductive and sexual health care for the men and women of our affiliate. And you were talking a lot about how we provide in our clinics in our turf area. We also promote healthy sexual practices out in our community. And then our Advocacy Day, Pro-Choice Lobby Day 2005, we had over 300 rowdy pro-choice activists down at the Capitol that day lobbying their elected officials and ensuring that we were to keep any restrictive laws off the books here in Oregon.
Well, we're going to talk about like sort of a broad span of what's been happening in the United States. But let's mm-hmm. talk about the really key thing right now. What's that guy's name? Alito.
Oh, yes. Yes. Justice Samuel.
I mean, where are we at now? I don't want to sound like, oh, my God, but do we need to panic?
Well, there's some cause for concern. Samuel Alito, as we may know, was, he was the lone, his record is not the best. He was the lone dissenter in Planned Parenthood versus Casey when it was before the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit. And he voted to uphold the Pennsylvania husband notification requirement that would have forced women to notify their husbands before obtaining an abortion. And that's just, takes us back to, the 19th century as far as we're concerned. And it's a very bad thing.
It was what it was, and he didn't really mean it, and blah, 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 blah. I mean, really, how serious is it now that he's been appointed that something's going to hit the court relatively soon.
Well, there are cases that the court will hear relatively soon. In fact, just recently, a panel of three judges on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit ruled that the abortion ban passed in 2003 was unconstitutional because it did not provide protections for women's health and it poses an undue burden on women, and it's constitutionally vague. And Alito might soon have an opportunity to rule on this ban. And in 2003, the Supreme Court ruled that abortion ban passed in Nebraska was unconstitutional because it did not provide for women's health. And in fact, the Supreme Court will soon announce whether or not it will take on Carhart versus Gonzalez, another case challenging the federal abortion ban.
So do you think it's going to be more subtle innuendo behind, not behind the scenes, but nothing like kaboomy, in our face kind of activity? Do you think it's just going to be more whittling away?
I think that's the larger strategy. Yes, behind anti-choice movement is to whittle away. In fact, in that 1985 memo that I referenced earlier, part of the legal and political strategy that Alito outlined in 1985 was not to overturn Roe v. Wade altogether, but to slowly chip away at it. So yes, I believe it's a larger strategy that's in place.
So that segues, let's talk about what's happened over the past year across the country.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you mentioned something, the setup for the state of Oregon. Can you remind me, they don't have a certain setup as far as...
Okay, so Oregon is only one of six states in the union not to have any restrictive laws against abortion, including parental consent, parental notification. There are 24-hour waiting periods with bias counseling information that's mm-hmm. given to women. There's all sorts of restrictions.
Well, I'm confused because wasn't there recently some stuff on the floor in the state legislature
yes.
trying to get some of that stuff established as is, statute?
In fact,
or,
every legislative session, you're correct, Denise, uh-huh. every legislative session there are anti-choice bills that would restrict the services that we provide to the community. Fortunately, we've been able to block those bills from passing.
And how do you do that?
Well, we do that in part through, in large part, through the hard work of our activists and through our volunteers who work very hard to tell that their pro-choice constituents do not want this kind of anti-choice legislation passed and that we want to keep Oregon a pro-choice state.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the other states.
Okay.
And see what's happening. I suspect there's been a lot of activity, unfortunately, on the wrong side, but maybe there's been some good news.
Well, we do, and to kind of go back to that statistic I was referencing earlier, since 1992 there have been over 400 pieces of anti-choice legislation that have passed in state houses and state assemblies in the United States. So that's the bad news. We do have some, you know, contraceptive equity laws that have been passed in some states in the union, requiring insurance companies, if they already cover other kinds of prescriptions, to provide contraceptives, to provide coverage for contraceptives for women.
Yes, it's so funny how much of a struggle that was. I mean, there was this acceptance and this embrace of, yeah, Viagra, get it
right,
on there.
Exactly.
But, you know,
and in fact, in Oregon, we've been trying to pass that legislation for the past 15 years, mm-hmm. and it's something that we bring up as a proactive piece of legislation because, you know, it's not just about fighting the good fight. It is about fighting the good fight. But it's also about making our lives better mm-hmm. and improving our communities and passing legislation like contraceptive equity, mm-hmm. which is so critically
important.
It still has not passed.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, when you think about it, contraception is basic health care for women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, over 85% of women will use contraceptives from the majority of their childbearing years. So this is something that is integral to women's lives.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. Well, do you have any other key legislation that's been passed or considered? I want to tell folks, there's a great resource I discovered, feminist.com. It's a great resource. Mm-hmm. The advisory board, Gloria Steinem, of course, is on it, and mm-hmm. Sarah Jones, one who's familiar with Kim, who Sarah Jones is, and also some other really powerful women are sitting on that advisory board, but they also have a news link. And they said, according to some information on that mm-hmm. site, is that last year anti-choice bills were proposed in every state except Alaska and Nevada, according to a new report issued by the National Abortion Federation.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, of the more than 500 anti-choice bills considered, only 26 were signed.
Mm-hmm.
into law, according to that report. So I guess at first glance, that's good news.
Well,
but
it can
26
be,
got passed.
Right, 26 got passed. And when you think about the 400 pieces of legislation that are already on the books
right.
in the past 10 to 15 years, mm-hmm. it doesn't seem like good news. I mean, one bill passing is bad news.
Mm-hmm. Well, it builds. That's the first step.
Right,
and
exactly.
And momentum builds from there.
Exactly. You were referencing other pieces of legislation. I would like to comment on actually a ballot initiative that is expected to be on the books for the 2006 midterm elections, which are coming up. Primary will hit in May, and then the elections will be in November. This is a parental notification ballot initiative that we expect to see on the ballot here in Oregon.
Okay.
And
this is not the first time this is being
introduced. This is not the first time.
They tried to get it
they
that
tried,
door.
They tried to get it, they tried to get it passed this past legislative session in down in the Oregon legislature.
Right.
And it passed the Oregon House of Representatives, the Oregon, and then it... It got stalled in the Senate because we have lots of pro-choice support, luckily, in the Senate right now. So it didn't make it to the governor's desk. So now they're trying another route, and they're trying to get parental notification passed. And what this would require a doctor to notify an older teen's parent if she's 16, 17, or 18 years old. It would require him to notify her parents 48 hours in advance of providing abortion care.
And could they then, if this passes and that happens, could they prevent the abortion from happening? Or is it simply notification?
It's simply notification. Okay. But when you think about it, if you're a 16-year-old girl,
you gotta call.
What's the difference between notification and consent?
Yeah.
Put yourself in the shoes of a scared 16-year-old girl. The answer to parental notification is something called judicial bypass, and that's a way for the young woman to get around having to notify her parents. So, but then the young woman has to go before a judge, and then the judge gets to determine whether or not he or she thinks the young woman is mature enough to make this decision. So, again, it's this complicated set of hoops that this young woman must jump through mm-hmm. just to access her basic human rights, because mm-hmm. ultimately reproductive rights are human rights, mm-hmm. And it's about the ability to control our bodies mm-hmm. and all the decisions around that.
Mm-hmm. And it's, well, a very complicated discussion.
Exactly.
What is an update on the partial birth bans or something?
The partial, well, again... I referenced that earlier. On January 31st, a panel of three judges on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit Court ruled that the abortion ban passed in 2003, which is the partial birth abortion ban, mm-hmm. the so-called partial birth abortion ban passed in 2003, was unconstitutional because it did not provide protections for women's health.
Okay.
And because it provides an undue burden on a woman's right to choose, and it's constitutionally vague. That references that in some cases, the ban would ban abortions only up to 12 weeks. And I'm not an expert on the whole language and the legality of the bill, but we do know that it can ban abortion as early as 12 weeks. And so that's really alarming because ultimately it puts the decision of a woman's health in the hands of the politicians mm-hmm. and not in the hands of the woman and her doctor, and mm-hmm. it's really the woman and her doctor that should be making these decisions about mm-hmm. a woman's health and safety, not politicians in Washington, D.C.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. Let me ask you, why are you doing what you're doing with Planned Parenthood?
I got involved in reproductive rights activism in college. I went to Portland State University and signed up to volunteer at the Women's Union sign-up table. The Women's Union is now known as the Women's Center, but back in the day it was known as the Women's Union. And started from there. I became involved with local campus organizing and activism and have been hooked ever since. And I think the thing that really motivates me, and this is what reproductive rights is what gets me up in the morning, because to me it's so incredibly absurd that there are politicians out there wanting to restrict my access to how to make decisions about my body and the future of my potential family and my children and all of those things. It seems to me like such a basic, fundamental human right that to have any of that messed with is just inconceivable. So
how do you maintain the energy? Because it's not an easy fight. It's constant. You know, you said yourself, you wake up every morning.
Right.
And, that, you know, you're thinking about that. And you're putting a lot of, you know, emotional and physical energy into doing your job. But how do you do that?
You know, what really inspires me are my volunteers. I have, you know, we're talking about all these things, all of these kind of policy things, the things that are happening out in the real world. And then the next question is, well, what can I do about it? You know, and we have at Planned Parenthood have an amazing group of volunteers that join our legislative action teams. And I'm actually the Washington and Multnomah County field organizer. And we host rallies. We're out in the streets. We had a pro-choice protest on the Roe v. Wade anniversary, the 33rd anniversary of Roe v. Wade. We go down to Salem. We lobby our elected officials. What keeps me motivated is knowing that we are really making a difference and that our elected officials out there that are making these decisions wouldn't be there if it weren't for their constituents. And so it's up to us to make sure that we have an educated and an invigorated pro-choice constituency base that is there talking to their elected officials that are making all of these decisions.
So what do you tell someone who believes this issue is really important?
Mm-hmm.
And they're working two jobs, and maybe they have a couple of kids, or maybe whatever. They're facing some challenges mm-hmm. that might prevent them from becoming actively engaged in, say, going down to Salem or doing
right.
something. I mean, what is the gamut of support or volunteerism for this?
There's all sorts of things you can do. I mean, it runs the gamut. The folks that sit on our legislative action teams are actually kind of they put in a lot of time, but it's as simple as writing a letter to the editor and getting it published in the paper has such an incredible impact. The first page that elected officials open when they look at the paper every day is the editorial section, because they want to know what their constituents,
what people are talking about.
They want to know what the buzz is. What are people talking about? It's writing a letter to the editor, writing a letter to your elected official, making a phone call, making a donation, coming in and helping out on the phones. One of the things that we're actually doing in February, after all of this Alito stuff, we're kind of revamping, and we want to educate as many people as we can and plug everyone we can into our Planned Parenthood Action Network. And so we're doing a recruitment drive for our Action Network in February. You know, if you have a couple of hours the week of the 20th, come on down and help out on the phones. I mean, you can do as much as you want or as little as you have time for.
Do you guys host any kind of team building stuff, like social activities? I know NARAL, Pro-Choice NARAL, they have drinks for choice and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we actually have a program run out of our development department called Sexy Tuesdays.
Sexy Tuesday, that's what I'm talking
and,
about.
And Laurel Kepi, actually out of the Planned Parenthood Development Department, heads that up. And it's a great program. People can come, they can have a drink. They can find out how to volunteer. They can find out how to donate. There's all sorts of different ways to get involved. And then with our Legislative Action Team program, you know, part of that, what makes that program so wonderful, is that it's a chance for activists to come together and meet like-minded individuals around this issue.
So if folks want more information, whether to volunteer, about what's going on, what is the best way to do that?
They can contact me. My name is Carmen. My telephone number is 503-775-4931, extension 278. They can also visit our website and sign on to volunteer at www.ppcw.org. At that website, they can access our calendar of events, and they can also sign up to volunteer with PPCW.
Fabulous. And I want to mention to listeners, if you miss any of these URLs or phone numbers or what have you, please feel free to call the KBOO studios. Chris, our talented engineer, will take your name, email, or phone number, and I can get back to you with that information that you missed. And in order to do that, you just call KBOO studios at 503-231-8187. Write that number down to start with, because We're going to have chock full of information coming up, and you might miss something because you're just so interested in what we're talking about. So the way to capture that is just give Chris a call at 503-231-8187. She'll take you down your contact information, and I'll follow up with you. So we have run out of time with you, Carmen, but thank you so much for coming in.
Denise, thank you so much for having us.
And that website, again, is www.ppcw.org. If you want any and all the information going on with Planned Parenthood or the Columbia Will Abbott, thank you.
Thank you so much.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio station, right smack dab in the middle of your community. This is Bread and Roses, and I'm your host, Denise Kovalchek, with my return to the KBOO airwaves. And I'll tell you, I'm feeling good. I hope folks are gaining some new insights, some knowledge with what we're talking about. We just had Carmen from Planned Parenthood on talking about current activity and previous activity relating to pro-choice issues. And again, if you have any questions to follow up, want some contact information, feel free to call 503-231-8187. And Chris, the fantastic board op, will take your name and contact information. Now we're to the second part of our show. I'm so tickled to have this happen as well. We have, in other words, again, not an unfamiliar name in the world of KBOO and its listenership, but for those who may be tuning in for the first time or may not have heard of this wonderful resource in our community, it's In Other Words, and it was founded as a nonprofit organization in the early 90s, I believe, and it's a volunteer-based organization working with the many diverse talents of women from all across the board, and it is one of the few remaining women's bookstores in the country, and it really relies on community support at many levels. And as you may have heard at the top of the show, one of our dedicated underwriters here at KBOO Community Radio. And I have with me in Studio 2 at KBOO store manager Sue Burns. She joins us now to talk about some really great things, some great changes with the bookstore, and also maybe some recommended reading relating to feminism and motherhood. And before I forget, I want to say hello to my husband, Xander, and my dear daughter, Lila Rose. Mommy loves you. So, Sue, Welcome to KBOO. You're no stranger to KBOO, I believe.
I've been on before.
Well, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
So let's talk about the big news, the exciting news, the move.
The move.
What's going on with that?
The move is going so amazingly well. We had 40 people show up last Saturday at our Hawthorne location, and within 4 hours, the shelves were cleared. And it's just incredible how many people are working on this, how quickly we got the store moved over. We're already at the new location, 8 Northeast Killingsworth. We'll be open for business. The grand opening will be tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Please come down and visit. It's just fantastic to be there.
Now, how long were you over on Hawthorne?
13 years.
13 years. So is it sort of a bittersweet departure? I mean, you're part of Hawthorne's history.
We are. I loved being a radical, visible voice, especially in such a consumerist environment, or what became a consumerist environment. And so I guess it's a little bittersweet. Mm-hmm. Mostly it's just great.
You know, I'm thrilled because the new location is 2 blocks from my house, so
I'll be
very excited.
There.
I definitely. Actually, I'm considering to do some volunteering, but we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
But, you know, I've talked to a number of folks who said, oh, gosh, they're moving from Hawthorne, and they're heartbroken. Well, you know, we want some time now, in other words, in Northeast. You know, you had them for about 13 years, and now we want them for a little bit. So you're opening tomorrow at 10.
Yep.
And what are your store hours?
We're open from 10 to 9, Monday through Friday. 10 to 6 on Saturday and 12 to 5 on Sunday.
Now, how long have you been there?
I've been there almost 4 years.
Okay. So, you know, as I mentioned, I'm sure many of the listeners are familiar with the bookstore, but can you sort of encapsulate sort of the history, how it kind of came about and it became this wonderful thing?
Yeah. So 13 years ago, Catherine Tetrick, Catherine Sammy, and Johanna Brenner worked together with community members to sort of fill the void left behind by a woman's place when it closed a few years previous. And they geniusly started the store as a nonprofit. Yeah, such a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Such a good idea. So grateful. And they picked Hawthorne. And I think at the time it was a fantastic location. And we have blossomed and struggled and done the work of feminism. We consider ourselves a social change organization, and we've, you know, watched people come out. We've listened to their words. We've just done so many amazing things right there on Hawthorne. I guess I want to return to that bittersweet comment. It is a little bittersweet. I'm going to miss I'm very grateful to the support of the Southeast community.
Did you capture a lot of those amazing, wonderful experiences, whether in photo or what have you? And did you capture it so there's this history that you may not be occupying that space any longer, but you've taken it with you?
Definitely,
in some way?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
So you guys are also a community resource, a community center of sorts.
Definitely.
What kind of activities take place in that capacity?
So many. So we have free community space for basically any organization or group of people that wants to use the space. Come in, ask us, we'll schedule you. You've got a space to meet.
So like meetings?
Meetings, events.
Humboldt Neighborhood Association.
Perfect.
Might need a meeting space, yada, yada.
They got it.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
And it's really exciting to be able to offer that, especially in our new location, because it's twice as big as our old location.
Okay. Great.
We also have a standard policy that all of our events are free and open to the public. And we have so many events, an average of like over 600 a year. And so that twice a week we're there working late with volunteers to host really amazing things.
So will you do art shows, will there be musical performances, lectures, and things of that nature?
All of the above.
Do you bring a lot of authors in to
do
some readings?
Yeah, local and national authors.
And how do the books get not physically on the shelf, sort of figuratively? How does that happen?
It's the work of many people. Catalogs are mailed to the store, and any volunteer or staff person goes through those catalogs and selects books that we think. We also take recommendations from community members and are constantly keeping our eyes on the sky and our ears to the ground, listening for new and upcoming feminist.
Do you host any kind of book club or anything? Like, in other words, book club?
We have a newly formed book club. We're working with Talking Drum, our new neighbor, right there on MLK in Killingsworth. And Gloria and I are doing a race and gender reading and action group.
Fun.
We meet the last Monday of every month, and we alternate locations.
Okay.
So once at Talking Drum, once at In Other Words.
Oh, that's exciting.
It's so great.
So are you going to have a big grand opening?
We
shindig?
Are. We're
oh,
going to have a huge grand opening. It's going to be on February 24th, starting at 6 o'clock and going late into the evening. We've got refreshments planned. We've got bands and speakers planned. And we also have a lot of gratitude to give to a lot of volunteers that have helped make this move possible.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about some of the books.
Okay.
Got. I mean, I'm a mom.
Good.
And I'm a feminist.
Good.
And I'm, you know, there's a lot of other things I am, too. But I'm really curious to know what you have over here that might pique my interest as a feminist mother or mothering feminist, one of those things. Yes.
Okay, I have some great books. I'm not a mom, but I love moms, and I have a mom, and I am a feminist. And so I selected a few books that I wanted to tell you about. The first one is called The Amazing True Story of a Single Teenage Mom by Catherine Arnoldi. It's a graphic novel, so it looks like a comic book. It's hardback. And it's basically the story of one girl's triumph over many obstacles. She deals with sexual assault, teen pregnancy, motherhood, and ultimately the fight for her right to higher education and therefore other teen mothers' rights, other girls' rights, other women's rights for higher education. It's beautiful.
And what is that called? I'm sorry?
It's called The Amazing True Story of a Single Teenage Mom.
And folks, I want to reiterate that if you're missing all these juicy details, do not panic. You can call Chris, the board op, and she can take your name and contact information and get back to you with all these books, titles, and authors. The number to call, 503-231-8187.
The next book I have is called Whatever Mom by Ariel Gore and her and her daughter Maya Swift. It's Ariel's newest nonfiction book, and it's Ariel Gore, for those of you that don't know, is an author and a local author
mm-hmm.
and the founding editor of Hip Mama magazine, which is far and away the best resource for a mother. And she's written this book with her daughter, Maya Swift, and it's a wise and funny approach to navigating motherhood and teenage-ness. Teenagerness?
Teenhood. I think,
yeah. We'll leave it that.
Yeah.
It's a great book.
She is fabulous. I've read two of her books, and there was a compilation of essays, which just one particular essay spoke to me, and just to paraphrase, it was just referring to the importance of a mom maintaining her sense of identity and feeding her heart and her soul so she could be a better mother.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that totally spoke to me because as any new mom will know, it's really difficult to kind of maintain the energy level to do just that. So it really spoke very loudly to me, and I just love Ariel Gore. So.
While we're on the subject of Ariel Gore, she has a new novel coming out. It's not out yet. It's called The Death and Resurrection Traveling Show. Wait, it's called The Traveling Death and Resurrection Show, and it's her first novel, and it is brilliant.
Oh, can't wait.
So
is that coming
beautiful.
Out?
I don't think it's coming out until March,
okay.
But she'll be speaking at, in other words.
And you'll keep us and
I'll keep you informed,
okay.
Yes. Great. So the next book is a novel by Jean Hegland, who is the author of Into the Forest, which is also a fantastic novel. But this one I brought specifically because it deals with motherhood and choice. And it's basically the story of two women whose lives intersect through the years, and they make very different choices. One woman gets pregnant and has an abortion. The other woman gets pregnant and has a baby. And it's an incredibly beautiful, well-written book. And I highly recommend it.
And that's called Windfalls by Jean Hegland.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Good.
I also brought today Wise Woman Herbal for the Childbearing Year by Susan Weed. This book is a natural approach to getting pregnant or stopping a pregnancy, to staying pregnant, and it leads you through birth and breastfeeding, all with diet, herbs, and body work. It's really an essential resource if you're interested in tackling pregnancy from a non-Western medical perspective.
Gosh, what some great reading. I just have to find the time to be able to read a book. that's a challenge in itself. So we're actually running out of time.
That's
my gosh,
fine.
I'm having so much fun, and it's going to be over, and then... But if folks want more information about using the space, shopping at the store, becoming a volunteer, you name it, how can they do that?
All of the above can be met by calling us at our same phone number.
Oh, yay.
Isn't that great?
That is excellent.
503-232-6003. We're also on the internet at www.inotherwords.org.
Well, Sue, thank you so much for being here. This was great fun. I hope to see you tomorrow at the store with my daughter, Lila Rose. And so this was store manager Sue Burns of In Other Words. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
This is KBOO 90.7 FM, your community radio station, your community resource for news, information, music, and you are listening right now to Bread and Roses. I'm your host, Denise Kovalchuk, having a great time talking about great stuff. We had Planned Parenthood in here. We had In Other Words in here as well. And now I am just tickled once again and so proud about this next guest. I have Whitney Pillsbury, co-chair of the Insights Teen Parent Program Board of Directors, and I sit on that board, and so that's why I'm exceptionally proud to be having this person in the room. Her daughter, Brooke, is also in here. She refuses to go on mic, but maybe next time. So we're going to have fun talking about the Insights Teen Parent Program, because I don't think that many people know about it, certainly not in the context of, like, Planned Parenthood. Everyone knows about Planned Parenthood, and this program, this organization is so inspiring with all that it does. It's a grassroots community-based nonprofit formed, I believe, according to my notes, in 1979. And it was created to serve the needs of teen parent families in Multnomah County. And the organization currently serves about 1,500 clients each year in such areas as housing assistance, basic needs support, counseling service, support groups, how to find a job. There's 13 programs. And as I mentioned, I sit on the board of directors. I've been there for a few months. And joining me, as I mentioned, is Whitney Pillsbury, who's co-chair of the board of directors. Welcome, Whitney.
Thanks, Denise.
Is this your first time on the radio?
It is.
And she's so tickled and excited, so I can tell.
Oh, it's going to be great. I've been looking forward to this.
So let's talk about how you got involved in Insights, maybe a little bit about your story and how long you've been involved in the organization.
Sure. I originally got involved with Insights because I was a teen parent myself, and my daughter was older, and I had some free time to volunteer again. So I did some research, and I thought that Insights was a fabulous agency with wonderful people, and I definitely believe in their mission. And I've been involved with Insights for a little over 4 years and been on the board and done some other things as well, but been on the board for a little over 4 years. And the last 2 years, I've been able to co-chair the board, which has been a fabulous honor, and I've learned a lot more about the agency due to chairing it. So it's been a lot of fun.
Well, my, I guess, introduction and beginning involvement with the organization, gosh, that's probably started about 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe a year and a half ago. In any event, I was contacted to MC a fundraising luncheon.
Yes.
And I said I would do it, and I got there, and everyone was just so fabulous. You know, you can get a sense of energy from a group of people,
mm-hmm.
okay, whether they're cohesive, whether they're not digging each other or what have you. But there was clearly a sense of unity about why folks were there and what they were talking about and saying about Insights Teen Parent mm-hmm. Program came from the heart. And as a mother, I wasn't a teenager. It was later in life that I had my daughter. But I thought to myself, you know, being a mom is so challenging on so many levels. And what if you don't have the resource? I was fortunate to have a lot of support and resources, a home, what have
sure.
you. And what if I was 16, mm-hmm. having Lila, and I had my family, you know, whatever.
Exactly.
The challenges to that. So that really spoke to me, the mission to help young parents be parents, the best
right.
parents that they can be, whatever that is. And as a result of that sort of entry point into the organization, I got to know you all,
mm-hmm.
and join the board. So it's just really, really exciting to be able to be part of the program. I want to also mention once again that if you have any information or additional questions that we don't answer tonight on the air, you can certainly call the air room at 503-231-8187 and leave your name and preferably an email address. If you don't have that, a telephone number, and I will certainly call you back in the next few days to answer those questions or get some information. So what I want to talk about now is maybe some information, some background information. They've identified five top risk factors
mm-hmm.
That teen parents face going through that experience. And I just want to recite those to you. Dropped out of school or 2 years below the grade level, there's about up to 40% of them have had that risk factor to deal with. A lack of support, isolation, it's almost 30%. Lack of or late prenatal care, 18 to 23%. Homelessness, displacement from their home, 16 to 21%. And emotional or other mental health problems or problems with the parents, it's also a pretty high percentage, about 19%. And so there's a lot of challenges and such that teen parents, I'm not an expert, I would, you know, you're a teen parent, you're an expert. So, I mean, how do you respond? I mean, whatever you're comfortable sharing, because I don't want to put you on the spot, but your experience as a teen mom, can you relate to any of those things?
Oh, sure. Some of those things, you bet. There's a lot of moms that come to the agency that have all those things that they're struggling with, and that's what's so wonderful about Insights is they can help them as far as being motivated and knowing that they can achieve their goals. And so it really helps with building their self-esteem to get them on the right path and have some more stability. And definitely, me personally, I mean, I was in high school, and so my life changed dramatically in a short period of time as far as friends and sports and the high school dances and all of those things. And my focus turned to my child. That's who you put first, and that's what motivates you to continue working and continue your education and to better yourself. And so it is very challenging, as we all know as moms, under a lot of circumstances. But you definitely need to just stay on track. And Insights is what helps these young girls do that, because they are very passionate about the mission, and the girls thrive. And they are very focused and very motivated, and they are outstanding parents and will achieve all of their goals. I believe just because you're a young parent doesn't mean that you know, your dreams are forgotten, so to speak. They're just delayed. So I think that it's amazing that you're on the board, and you've done a fabulous job. So glad that you're there. So you definitely bring a lot to the table, and it is a wonderful agency, and they are thriving after more than 25 years, like you mentioned. And I just think that we're achieving our goals left and right, and we've got a great group of people who work hard every day for these young families.
The staff are amazing.
They are. It's wonderful.
So amazing.
You spoke about the energy, and they are wonderful. They all believe in the same things, and they just work their tails off for those young families and providing all the services that they do.
And you can feel that when I go into the building. You can just feel it just kind of vibrates off the wall. We mentioned earlier there's about 13 different programs that are offered, and there's. I just want to recite them just very quickly. If anyone's listening right now who might want to take part in these programs, there's the Healthy Start program that helps with home case management, some parenting education, support groups, transportation, and child care issues. There's the Enhanced Case Management that provides intensive case management to young parents who might have been identified as high risk, dealing with some serious complex issues relating to either domestic violence, isolation, substance abuse issues. The Evening Breeze program is an ongoing parenting education and support group that's open to all pregnant and parenting teen moms and dads in Multnomah County. There's on-site child care provided, if you want, as well as a meal. The Christina Project provides support and case management services to teen moms who are currently or have previously experienced domestic violence. The Open Door Program provides homeless teen parents with case management, parenting education, and housing referrals. Turn the page over. Programa Puentes. excuse me, is a program for Spanish-speaking young parents, and I think that particular program has a holiday meal once a year. The Passages program supports teen parents to attend and complete high school or obtain their GED. The Passages school program supports provides support groups and case management to school districts that request on-site services. The Home Safe Housing Program offers safe, scattered-site apartment living for teen parents and their children. HAPPY, the Housing Assistance for Pregnant and Parenting Youth, provides rental assistance to young families. SEEDS, Supporting Early Emerging Development Skills, includes weekly case management, education, child checkups, free screenings, field trips, play groups.
Mm-hmm.
And the Oregon Children Fund Program provides case management and support group for families with two or more children. And I think there's a brand new program, a mentor program. The name is escaping me right now, but is a program that's brand new to provide an opportunity for teen parents to maybe go to the next level to look at careers and things of that
yes,
nature.
Yes, that's very exciting. They're putting together a lot of nice programs that a lot of the girls can take advantage of. And, you know, some of the girls do one thing, some do several things. It just depends on what their needs are and what their interests are. But they have an opportunity to get together and have some girl time and discuss their children's needs, and their kids have fun because they go in the nice playroom there and have snacks and, you know, have educational toys. And we've got great child care providers. And so it's a real nice place for the young moms to be able to go and, you know, have some time to themselves as well as learn some things that they might need to brush up on.
So, in what ways can people help or get connected?
Oh, gosh. You can certainly go to Insights. It's located at 2020 Southeast Powell Boulevard. Their phone number is 503-239-6996. We have all sorts of volunteer needs, and as little or as much as you have time for. We do adopt a family during the holidays, and we always need people to help with transportation and keeping up the donation closet and lots of different things that the individuals out in the community could help. We need board members. We have a couple events that we do each year, and the more people we have, the more fun it is and the more successful it is.
So I want to add to also maybe check out the website.
Yes.
Which is www.insightstpp.org.
Correct.
And again, if you missed any of those numbers or what have you, you can call the studios at 503-231-8187. Leave your name and contact information with Chris, and I'll get back to you with that. And we've run out of time. Is there anything in closing that you want to offer?
In closing, I'd just like to thank everyone who has supported Insights Teen Parent Program, and Insights does help make successful families.
Thank you so much, Whitney Pillsbury, co-chair of the Insights Teen Parent Program Board. Did you have fun on the radio?
I had a great time.
So did I. You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is Bread and Roses and your host, Denise Kovalchuk. We're wrapping it up. We had some wonderful guests this evening. Thanks again to Carmen of Planned Parenthood of the Columbia Willamette, Sue of In Other Words Bookstore, and Whitney of Insights Teen Parent Program. It was a delight to have you here. I just want to make a couple of announcements. I mentioned a great resource, feminist.com. It's a 10-year-old activist community, and it's a portal of resources and information that supports women's equality, justice, wellness, and safety. It was founded to initiate and facilitate grassroots mobilization, something we here at KVU know all about. It's about networking. We all know the importance of that, and communication around a variety of topics like important political, health, and educational issues relating to women. So check it out. It's about awareness, education, activism, and empowerment, and that's feminist.com. Some events. Of course, we've got the 16th Annual Cascade Festival of African Films going on. I believe KVU is co-sponsoring that film festival. It starts tonight, and it runs through March 4th, and it's at the PCC Cascade Campus. More information about that event can be found at AfricanFilmFestival.org. Also, on February 8th, the Affordable Housing Now campaign kicks off at the City Council meeting on February 8th at 9:15. For more information, get in touch with Mike at mike@cdnportland.org. The Code Pink Signature Gathering campaign is underway. That's to end the war in Iraq. It has a deadline of gathering all these signatures by March 8th, which, of course, is International Women's Day. And for more information about that effort, you can go to CodePink4Peace.org. The 11th Annual Women's Health Conference by OHSU is taking place April 22nd at the Oregon Convention Center, and you can get more information about that event at OHSUWomen'sHealth.com. And the 4th Annual Celebration of Women by Radiant Theater is in July, and if you have a play you'd like to submit, you have until March 30th. More information can be found at radianttheater.org. And, of course, don't forget to tune in to KBOO on March 8th, International Women's Day, for all that fabulous programming. So thanks to our guests for coming in tonight. Thank you, Chris, for doing an expert job in engineering. I want to mention Leanne, our host from last week, spoke with Suzanne Marie Fanger about social aggression among preschool age girls. If you want more information about that topic, please contact Ms. Fanger directly at sfanger@yahoo.com. And next week on Bread and Roses, join host Gabby Ross with a report back from the women's delegation to World Social Forum in Venezuela. Thank you so much. I'm Denise Kovalchik signing off. This is KBOO Portland.